This is a Clearview podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of Carpe Manana, a show where we talk about how to capture tomorrow today. Thank you so much for tuning in, those of you who are listening on the radio, those of you who are subscribed to your favorite podcasting platform. We really appreciate you guys joining the conversation. And while you're there, make sure you leave us a rating and a review. It helps us to stay visible and helps you to stay connected with all of our future content. We want to start this episode off the same way we do every week, introducing ourselves and what we do here at Clearview. Maybe we have some first-time listeners joining us. We want you guys to get to know us better. So to my right is
Abaddon Shaw, and I'm in charge of preaching and leadership here at Clearview Church. And to my right,
Kelsey McKeel, and I am in charge of kids ministry and theater here at Clearview Church. And to my right,
my name is Rebecca Shaw, and I'm in charge of administration and kids ministry here at Clearview. And to my right,
John Galantis, I'm in charge of worship and media here at Clearview Church. And to my right,
David Williamson, I'm in charge of technology and student worship here at Clearview. And to my right,
Ryan Hill, and I'm in charge of congregational care and student ministry here at Clearview Church. And we want to continue with you guys the conversation we started last week, talking about strategy planning, what that looks like for an organization, what it looks like for a church, and what our experience has been with a strategy planning meeting. Dr. Shaw, can you just remind our listeners what we mean when we talk about a strategy planning meeting and what that means for an organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if you want your organization, whether it's church or business or some institution, to move forward and to achieve certain goals, it's not just going to happen by accident. You got to have a time of sitting down, assessing where you are, what values you hold dear to yourself or to your organization, and then the mission, and then, of course, the vision of where you want to be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. Mm-hmm. And then what steps do you need to take to get from where you are to where you need to be? I mean, all that is very, very hard work. It's tedious. But unless you have that, you will do a lot of stuff that is, how do I say this, that is, you know, urgent, but you will not achieve the important. So urgent stuff will get done. Important, which is your vision, where you want to be, will not happen. So it's a must to go through strategy planning. And we did this at Clearview Church. And when I was a principal at one time, I led the organization the same way. We assessed our current situation. Then with the help of the core leadership, we came to an understanding of what the core values were of our organization, and then, you know, determined which one were the actual and then which ones were the aspiring. And once again, you cannot have like 20 core values. At Clearview Church, we have only 4. Okay. We're a Bible believing church. We are a loving church. We are a worshiping church, and we are a church that desires to see people get saved. The first two, Bible-believing and loving, were actual. The second two, worship and evangelism, were the aspiring values. And then we crafted our vision statement to lead all people into a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And then the vision, time to dream. Where do you want to be? And you cannot just say, well, what I would like to see is a theme park behind the church. That's great. But if that doesn't line up with your core values and doesn't line up with your mission, then great, you can dream away, but that's not going to come to fruition. It's just going to be, it looks good on paper, but not going to happen. And God forbid, if it happens, it will probably destroy your organization.
And one thing that I learned when we did our strategy planning was to keep the dreams, like, not too small, but also you got to keep them realistic. And that was a tricky line to be on sometimes.
Right.
Especially when we were doing like where we want to be in, you know, like 2 months, or sorry, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years.
Right.
Sometimes we had great intentions. It was like, but we might need a little more time for that.
Right.
Or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And when we say realistic, don't think for a moment we're saying small,
right,
or
right,
achievable. Big dreams
certainly
are is what you need to aspire for. We have big dreams, and big does not mean unrealistic.
Yeah.
Unrealistic are dreams that have very little to do with your core values, your mission, and who you are and what you're trying to do, that's when it becomes unrealistic.
I love that you make that distinction, though, because I feel like a lot of organizations definitely want that cool factor, that thing that I have this dream of what I want this place to look like, and I have this dream of how I want this place to maybe even function, but it doesn't line up with what we're about or who right. we are as a team.
Mm. Right, and that's where you see a lot of them fall apart, or they don't finish the course, they never reach the vision, they have great everything except it was unrealistic, and unrealistic is not big. Mm-hmm. We have some very, very big goals here at Clearview. We're not even going to share them because they're so big. Mm-hmm. We're not ready to share them, but they're not unrealistic. They are achievable.
And none of them involve any water slides or
natural
Ferris wheels, none of that.
Nature preserve or no, not really.
That's really
or going to the
moon. That's hard to hear. I had a proposal I wanted to
going to the moon or something like that, or Mars. No, we're not into that. That's great. But no, we're not gonna do that.
Yeah.
But our goals are not less. Mm-hmm. They're very big, very audacious. Like Jerry Falwell would often ask people, what is your BHADS? Big, hairy, audacious deals.
I've heard that.
Wow.
Right. And so, what is your BHAD? And so, we have some
BHADs brewing.
There you go.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah. And they are realistic.
And we encourage you guys, if you didn't get a chance, go back and listen to last week's show. We want you guys to have that framework and understand the importance of a strategy planning meeting. But let's say people are listening and they have that framework, they have that background, and they've bought in. They want to jump in, they want to conduct a strategy planning meeting for their organization to help take them to the next level. What is step one? What's the first place they need to go?
Step one is identifying who your stakeholders are. Who are the people who care about the place?
Hmm.
And let's say it's a company, then you decide who are those people, who are the stakeholders. And once you have those people, those are your core leaders, it's with that group that you begin this process of identifying your current status. Where are you? What's happening in the institution, organization? What is happening in the world? You see, you also need an assessment of the situation. Mm-hmm. And then let's talk about core values. What do we hold dear? What is important to us? What is the hill worth dying on?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we did this, you know, back in 2008, those four core values came to the surface. And the way we did it was we had a big board, mm-hmm. like a whiteboard,
mm-hmm.
and I gave tons of post-it notes to people. I said, here they are. Now, I want you to write down what Clearview at the time, Tabernacle, what does it mean to you? And I said, don't write a long statement, just a word or two. And they did. A lot of things like family, loving, fellowship, legacy, history, Bible, salvation. I mean, the words were endless. I mean, and they kept going. I was like, there's more post-it notes. Just keep finding them.
Yeah.
And then I told them, I said, and then either you can give them to me and I'll put them on the board, or you write them and walk to the board and put them up there. And once all these post-it notes were up there, and I mean, there were, I don't know how many, I want to say a couple hundred.
Wow.
Then we began to group them. Okay, so fellowship and family, I think, are talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Worship and singing are talking about the same thing. Preaching and Bible, we're talking about the same thing. So we began to group them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, we came up with like maybe 7 or 8 categories.
Wow.
The next step was, which ones are realistic? And then began to realize, these are not really our values. These are things that we would like to do, like somebody put in there, go on trips. So I was like,
well, we value going on trips here.
Right.
That's who we are.
That's who we are. It's church.
So it was like, okay, well, let's leave that over there. And then after a while, we said, okay, going on trips, is that a value or is that something we like to do? And then Well, it's because we like to be with friends and family. We can go on trips on our own. So that fell under loving church.
Nice.
So that's the way we began to determine our core values.
And I've always really liked the way that you described it, especially during like Clearview 101. When we talk about core values, you always describe it as the four legs to the stool that kind of like our organization stands on.
Right.
So I'm guessing like for people who are trying to come up with their core values, say they have their group together, they're writing their sticky notes and stuff down. How can you truly discern what's the most important thing? Like, say everybody agrees on one thing being a value, but it's not really that important of a value.
Great question. Then, I mean, then that is important to them.
Yeah.
Mm.
To that organization. Now, as a leader, I also had the vision of where we need to be. That's why you have the actual values and the aspiring values. Actual values, Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Already as a pastor, I was very concerned about making sure the Bible is the foundation of our church.
Mm-hmm.
Preaching, teaching, coming from the Bible, not just getting up there and just talking, hey guys, I'll tell you a story and then talk about a moral lesson or something. No, it's going to come from the Bible. Why do we do what we do at the church? From the Bible. So that was actual for me. Loving, repeatedly people would say, "How we're a loving church, we care about people, we all those kind of things." Okay, actual. Then they talked about music. They said, "Oh, we love to sing. We like praise and worship." And then the more they talked, then I, as a leader, that's important. I told them, I said, "I think we may like music, but I don't think we are top-notch when it comes to worship."
Hmm.
He said, we do a good job. And so-and-so does a good job, and I really like to hear him sing, and on and on. So that's all good, but we are not a worshiping church. Worshiping church looks very different. Where people are actually worshiping,
mm-hmm.
not just singing, or not just, you know, humming along with a familiar song. Of course, that's a worship in their own way, in their own tradition, but truly worshiping church is when people are really into worship. And I think we're still working. That's still, in a way, an aspiring value.
I agree.
We're not quite there yet.
Mm.
Evangelism. Oh, yeah, we like to see the lost saved, and mission's important. But that was not actual, because then the question was, how often a week do you tell people about Jesus? How do you invite people to come to church? When was the last time you did? And very honest, they didn't.
Mm.
So, yeah, we would like for it to be, but it's really not. Mm-hmm. Now, to go back to your question, David, what if somebody brings up something that would be like, we like to make bombs.
Everybody's like, we agree.
What if everybody says that? Well, at that point, the leader has to then say, is that a good value or not? Does the church needs to get involved in making bombs? You know, you see what I'm saying? I know it's a kind of a really far out illustration, but that's a good example.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I guess the origin of that question is, what if somebody was valuing, like, undercutting people? Like, I want to take as many members from this other church as I can.
Or even, like I want this church to make a lot of money.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where the leader has to really decide, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to lead this organization, then you have to lead. The values have to come from the people, but they're going to come from the people with your guidance.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as just everybody decide what you want, and we're going to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's not strategy planning.
Yeah.
So as a leader, it sounds like you have to use your own discretion as well, on top of what like the suggestions and things that are going on.
Yeah, you have to guide them.
Wow.
You have to guide them. And just like our staff here, we are all equals. Okay, that's the direction I have tried to move our organization. But I am a leader among equals. You say, if you're equal and then you have a leader, then it's not equal anymore. That's not the way. It's like the pictures of a bus driver,
mm-hmm.
okay? We're all in this bus, but the bus driver is in charge of taking us to the destination. Same thing in strategy planning. The bus driver is a leader who should know where we're going and what matters and what doesn't. And in our, I can't think of anything in our strategy planning meetings that was like, oh, no, that's crazy. No. I don't remember anything. No, I'm talking about the first time.
Oh, also. My bad.
How old were you in 2008, David?
2008, I was 9 years old.
Yeah,
you were there.
Yeah, I was there, right?
I was there in spirit.
You were the one wanting to make bombs or something like that.
It wasn't that. I just really valued pizza parties.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I don't think he said it so confident. Like, no, not at all. But that's so I don't remember anybody really asking for anything that was so off. And usually in, you know, places like that. Now, it can happen where there could be prejudice. You know, we don't want certain kind of people coming into the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to do strategy planning and you're doing that, I don't know what to say to you. You have a lot of problems because the Bible is very clear on it, where to stand. So, you know, I don't. Maybe it's something like that. Is that what you have in mind? Maybe.
Yeah. Just something that people shouldn't value, but for some reason they seem to value.
Right.
But yeah.
And again, as I said, I began the first strategy planning, although I did not know the process like I did in 2008. And even there I was learning. But the first time when I began the process in 2000, the people were not ready.
Mm.
And so it was shot down.
How did you know the people weren't ready?
They told me.
Oh,
we're not ready.
Well, nothing gets more certain than that.
Yes, that
they said they were not playing. Interested in any of this.
Mm. Wow,
you know, and they were happy to have me, and they were very sweet, loving.
Mm-hmm.
But we expect you to be gone in a couple of years and find you a better church.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, okay. So they were not ready.
Yeah.
So you know, we have the core values that we've talked about. You talked about vision. Now, in the 101, you talk about a mission statement that we have. Did that come out of this as well?
Yes. It. This is not taken from another church. We didn't run to, at the time, let's see, Saddleback or Willow Creek or First Baptist Woodstock North Point, I think it is, Andy Stanley's church, I think. North Point. No, we didn't go to any of these places. We checked out their websites. They have websites back then. We saw their vision, their mission statements. But then I read a book by George Barna on vision, how to create a vision. And in that, he talks about how to craft a mission statement. A mission statement should be something that should outlast your, it should not be time bound.
Okay.
So our mission statement at Clearview is to make, to lead all peoples into a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Our core should be there.
Yep.
And Jesus Christ is the core.
Hmm.
So we made sure that was in there.
I love that it's broad enough to be timeless, like you said, but it's still specific enough to be attainable.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because in every single situation, whether it's a senior adult or a little kid, baby in the nursery, male or female, American or not. I mean, it doesn't matter. That mission statement applies to every human being, right?
It's so profound. It almost feels like it's magnetic. Like if things start to wander, if things start to, you know, go off on a tangent, it pulls everything back into line, pulls everything back into focus where it needs to be.
Right. And also, we crafted our slogan, which was making Christ visible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that became our slogan coming out of the mission statement.
I also love the logical progression of how everything is going, because you're starting off with these very loose ideas of who we are as an organization. And then we take those ideas and we put them into categories. And from those categories, we get our core values. And then from those core values, we get our mission statement, what we actually want to do as a church. It's almost like all of these scatterbrained thoughts are just getting narrower and narrower and narrower until all of a sudden, I didn't even realize it, but now we have a direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our mission statement, if you walk into our lobby, is there
mm-hmm.
for everybody to see. And also our core values. I would love to see them in our hub as well.
Yeah.
In the hub foyer, it needs to be in there.
Yeah.
Maybe not the same kind, but some way where people walk in, they see that, and they see that's our mission, those are our core values.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
You know? And then we began the next step. By the way, this took at least, if I'm not wrong, 3 months.
Hmm. Mm.
Wow.
Just to get to that point. Maybe even 4 months. Just to do this assessment, core values, mission, at least 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
And then we began the process of dreaming, which is our vision.
Mm-hmm.
What do we want to look like 10 years, 15 years, 20 years from now? And we didn't do like a month or 3 months or 6 months kind of thing like we did in our recent strategy planning. No, we did big. And in that, we had things in there like we want services at times other than our regular traditional times, which means times of services may change.
Yeah.
In some churches, that's a hill we're dying on. Not for us. If we need to change it, we'll change it. If it's going to serve more people, we're going to do that. Last year, we opened up another service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have a big business meeting on that.
Yeah.
It had to be done.
Yeah.
We're going to have a full-fledged orchestra. Okay? That's 2008. 12 years later, we're to that point.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing really, really well.
Absolutely.
You know? So, then children's ministry is going to be a certain way. And keep in mind, at this point in 2008, we did not even own our own property anymore.
Wow.
So, we were meeting in a rental facility, which was actually another organization that had moved out.
Mm-hmm.
We had taken over their building.
Wow.
So at that time, yeah, we had some money in the bank because we had sold the old building, but we didn't have any property.
Yeah.
And we were just maybe 4 or 5 months into this venture.
Maybe there's people kind of who listening to this who are like, I've already come to that point in my organization, because I feel like what I'm hearing from you and what I'm thinking is like we set these goals and we met them, but do you then make new goals in another strategy planning meeting, or do you say, how do we further these goals even more to make it better than or is it just a point of let's make new goals but they still fall under these core values?
For a church, I would say you have to listen to God,
mm-hmm.
you know. You have to listen to God and say, God, guide us. And for me, the next strategy planning was with you guys. And it happened recently,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we're not changing core values.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If you notice, we didn't vote on the core values. We didn't vote on our mission statement. We voted, not even vote, we kind of crafted out what does our vision look like based on where we are now? Because in 2020, things have changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had asked me about this time last year, I would have said, no, we'll be okay. We'll be back to normal. But things have changed. A lot has changed in our world. So based on that, what are we predicting? What is the most educated guess that we can make about the future? After reading articles, after listening to experts, and then talking to you guys, we began to assess the situation, where our church is right now, where the world is right now, where the world is headed, and what do we need to do?
And I think I can say, just, and I think I speak for all of us, that it's such a confidence booster to go into 2021 knowing, like, just having that plan, you know what I'm saying? That we've all sat down, we've talked about it as a team, you know, we've talked about it under your leadership as well, and just knowing that we are all moving forward together for a common goal. Yes, we all have separate ministries that we're doing, but together as a group and as a team, we're going forward. Like, for me, my confidence has been strengthened because of it.
And it brought us together, like, unified us even more, too, and brought us together to work closer as a team as well.
Yeah. And I actually got to know more of you better mm-hmm. in the way that you think and the different goals that each one of you have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to see everybody's passion come to the forefront and how they jumped in and how they contributed. And it was amazing how it just sort of took on a life of its own. And Dr. Shaw, that says a lot about how you conducted the strategy meeting, because we were all kind of putting out these ideas and thoughts and questions, but then everything started to take shape. And it felt like it was a very effortless, natural process, but then that's you as the leader kind of guiding us where we need to go.
And the strategy planning for me has made a huge difference, because to think about it, we could have all gone and been like under this organization of Clearview, doing our own thing for however long, and we might have made some headway in different areas, but without being that like unified, like that one unit, I don't really know that we could have gone as far as we have been planning on.
Well, ownership. Now you take ownership of the vision. Mm-hmm. That's why you were included in this thing, because now you are part of it, and so you're not just do this thing. Yeah, you will make this thing happen. Mm-hmm. Of course, by God's help, by God's direction, by His grace, but you are the ones making this happen. So that's why it was essential that now is the time.
I think though, when we came together, like, we could not have done it, I don't think, as nearly as effectively as we did if you hadn't already done it. You know what I mean? That knowing that, because there were times where we were doing it where I was like, okay, I can kind of see where everybody's head is at, but I don't know how these thoughts are going to turn into tangible action steps. But knowing that, like, Pastor Jai has done this before, he knows he there's an end goal that he sees, that helped me to not worry about that kind of thing and just participate.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And we were able to then consolidate the ideas into those four categories, and then from there, the next step, which is the action step, mm-hmm. you know, what will it take? I will say this, the first strategy planning, which was back in 2008 for the church, and I also did one kind of concurrently at the school as well when I was a principal. But the one at the church, the one thing that I always found was sort of lacking were the action steps. They were there in my head, but they were not worked out with the people. And I think at the time when we stopped the strategy planning, you know, we had core values, mission, vision, even a name change. Our name change, you know, we went from Tabernacle Baptist to Clearview Church. Even that name change came out of this strategy planning. Mm-hmm. And then after that point, I think it was like, okay, all right, well, let's just move forward. And I wish we had done more steps, action steps. Mm. In this strategy planning, we actually did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this is what needs to happen. Now, of course, we kind of put it away, but we are going to now, next week, walk through them and type them out, lay them out so people will see, our staff, I'm talking about the staff, will see this is what we are doing. This has to happen so we can have this by this time or that time.
And I love that part, because it kept pulling us out of the lofty ideological realm, like, you know, thinking, hey, yeah, we want a church that does this, or we want people to be like this. But it was like, okay, practically, what does that look like? What is the next step that we need to take?
Right.
What is it going to look like when the boots hit the ground, and where are we headed?
Right. My favorite part of the whole, like, action step was that it had the time constraints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because now it's not just like, these are action steps that we're going to take one day. It's, no, you have 6 months, you have 2 years, you have this, and I think that was really helpful.
Mm-hmm. And that's typically what you'll see, especially from people who try to do this kind of thing on the surface level, is here's what I want. It's so important to establish your vision. It's so important to establish your goals. Yes, it is, but that's where it always stops. That's where you always hear people say, so figure that out and you'll be well on your way. But no, you have to have steps to get there. And that was my favorite part, was seeing it all come together and become tangible.
What I loved about doing those steps and giving all of them the time frames is that we still kept them categorized, so to speak. So, like, we're still walking through and seeing, oh, well, this little baby step leads to this slightly bigger step 6 months down the road, which leads to this even bigger step a year from now, and so on and so on. So you're not looking at this two-year goal like, whoa, we're never going to hit that because that's so big. But no, we've seen all these little steps that lead to this big, amazing thing that's coming.
Exactly. And that's, you know, where did I get these ideas? Of course, I talked about, you know, several books in the last episode, and encourage you to go back and listen to that podcast. But also at the time, and I'm talking about pre-2000, there were books coming out like Built to Last by Jim Collins. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he also wrote From Good to Great, books like that. These are books that emphasize longevity, how to take an organization and build it so that it will outlast you. Now, after Enron, remember the Enron crisis? Maybe mm-hmm. y'all don't remember, where you know these business moguls mismanaged money and purposely, actually, and you know you began to see huge companies collapse. People lost that sense of you know confidence in organizations lasting or companies lasting, outlasting them. But that's what strategy planning is based on. And since then, we've had a lot of these dot-com booms where, you know, companies will just pop up and next thing you know, man, they're million-dollar companies. They're Fortune 500. And then next thing you know, they're gone. They're sold. We don't even know where they're gone. What was that? Remember that company? So I think now that's sort of ended. Now we're beginning to see people wanting companies to last. At the same time, we're still in that same mindset where with the coming of the internet, where something, if it works, ride that wave as long as you can and then drop it and move on to something else. Cash out and go.
Wow.
And all those things are fine. I don't believe our organization fits that category. We are here to last as long as we can.
Yeah, instead of having that idea of we're going to ride this wave as long as we can, I've always thought of it as it's not so much riding a wave, it's more like we're planting a seed in the ground, and that might not yield fruit for a little while, but when it does, we'll have that for a long time.
Right, right.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. Just like you heard in this episode, make sure that you put action steps to your plan. Don't just talk about having a strategy planning meeting somewhere, sometime in the future. Develop a plan, have the meeting, and craft those action steps for your organization for the years to come, and you will see great benefits from doing so. Make sure you send us an email if you have any questions about anything we talked about on the podcast today. Send us an email to carpemignana@clearviewbc.org. Love hearing from you guys. Read every single one. Love knowing what you're taking away from the episode. Make sure you tune in same station, same time next week. And if you're not already, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next time on Carpe Mignana.